So we're back on So We Healing.
Yep.
With a question mark. I'm because we're not healing, really ever sure. Because
I got an eyelash in my eye, so I'm definitely going to need to heal. Lord Jesus.
Make a wish, though. Make a wish when you get it out. We had a good first convo about patriarchy as a pyramid scheme. I mean, I think instead of recapping the last convo, we've just decided to have a part two because I feel like there's a lot of things that we could have gone deeper into and we didn't.
Yeah. You know? And I think based upon the DMs and text messages I got, folks like, yeah, I want to hear more about this.
Perfect. Great. Like,
patriarchy, that should be wearing on you. So you like.
It's a big pyramid. It's so it's going to take biggest, some time. Yeah.
And aliens didn't build this one.
This is all man-made. No pun intended. Well, and female-made.
FYI, y'all, I'm just going to make random Miles references because Miles is this adorable cat. And I am very much not a cat person. Miles is the second cat I've ever given any shits about. It's just so adorable.
She's the best. She, now that we know she's a she.
Yes.
And not a he. That's a story for a different time. Okay, so episode two, we are talking about, well, this was inspired by the book Attached.
What's the author? Amir Levine
and Rachel Heller, right? Heller?
Something like that. I think that's it. I know it was Rachel, so.
Yeah.
Let's see. Rachel S. Dot F. Dot.
They had,
period.
And Amir has an initial too, I think, in his, and I, you know.
Oh, you got that MD.
Right. Yeah. I just remember there were a lot of letters and I was like, it's Amir and Rachel.
Amir and Rachel.
Google will fill in the rest for y'all.
Yes.
So we both have read this book. You actually read it before me. And I had another girlfriend who went through a breakup read it. And it blew my mind after it blew your mind.
Yeah. It's a fascinating book because how did I come across it? I am thinking deeply. I remember what it was. Breakup was fresh. And I kept telling myself, don't do anything you feel like you would normally do.
Oh, wait, just quickly, why?
Because I was super concerned that I would do things that like I would, I don't want to say regret because I don't really have regrets.
Just maybe not be proud of.
Yeah. Like not be proud of or what's the other word? Oh, it's going to come to me like I can feel it. It's more of it was like a feeling that would bring about this feeling of it didn't like honor and respect myself and the person that I was with.
Yes.
So it came from there. And I will also say it was the first time I've ever had a breakup where my reaction wasn't like, well, fuck you then.
Yeah.
It was more so like, I don't want this, yet I also still want this person to like give me the opportunity to be able to like figure out whatever it could be.
Right. Because you've mentioned before that sometimes you tend to, you're good at, and you and I have both acknowledged that we're good at being able to just shut people out completely and move on.
Yeah, I'm like,
and
cool.
You didn't necessarily want to do that with this. You wanted to make sure that it was.
Yeah, and I don't understand why. So I think that also was driving me as to like, why
interesting. Yeah,
I hear am you. I not immediately going to like, fuck you? Or just like, that's that. Just immediate. It helped me realize the sense of abandonment I deal with. So
interesting, okay.
I was just like random search engine, like typing in things like what are things that are good to do? Or just like, I know I wouldn't normally do this stuff. I know I'll be just like, peace.
Yeah.
No best of luck, no nothing. Just like, you will never see or hear from me again.
Yes.
And that just wasn't the thing that came up.
Yeah.
I remember like briefly we had like had it. Exchange and I did say like, well, if we ain't figuring out like how to get back together or make it work, then like there ain't no reason to talk. But even then, that I was still in my own, I don't know if it's healthy or not, I'm trying not to label things that way, but in my own way I was still trying to be aware that I did not want to cut this person out.
Yeah.
So when I recognized that, It's like, okay, there has to be something out there that can help me understand why and how I show up and where a lot of it might stem from. So just doing random searches, and I think I was talking to someone, or someone that like took me to lunch, and they said something along the lines of, I can see you being either a secure attached person or an anxious moving to be secure attached person. Mm. And I was like, what the fuck? What words are these, homie? like, I know I deal with anxiety, but like, who don't? But it was still just a thing that I had never heard. And it felt very therapist-like.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where'd you hear that from? And then they were just like, oh, attached. And I kept thinking that, for whatever reason, that they were just saying attached, but and I didn't, like, for whatever reason, just didn't dawn on me, it was the book title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then finally, I just started typing in, like, secure attached. And then it came up, and then
I bought it. Like, let me read this.
Read it, and was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because it felt like I saw not every I'm thinking of relationships now. I hate the just like romantic or platonic. So what I've done so far is like people that I have been physically intimate relationship.
Yeah.
I saw all of those drastically differently and they made sense.
Yes.
And then I saw all of my like non-physically intimate relationships like, oh shit, this is where a lot of this is coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, I'd heard about attachment styles, but I'd never read the book. And understood them at a very surface level. And I think similarly, I was feeling so much pain from the feeling of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
In the sea of Instagram therapists, some woman had posted a few things about attachment styles, and they were the clearest breakdowns that I had seen. And then between you and my other girlfriend having read the book, I was sort of like, okay, I feel like I need to actually go deeper into understanding these things and not just at a surface level. And similarly, things started to make more sense. But like, if I'm being real, the number one thing I got out of the book was just validation, emotional validation about how I've moved through relationships. And not validation in that like I've done everything right, but validation in the idea that I'm not alone necessarily in how I've behaved, and that there's a way for me to move towards a more secure style. And there's a way for me to be more secure, but also recognizing and just kind of accepting the fact that the insecure attachment style can come out or be triggered by my needs being unmet or by an avoidant type person.
Oh, Lord. So
which is like a whole, there's like a lot in there. I know we can dive into that. That's like high level.
So there's secure, avoidant, anxious. Those are the three.
Yeah. So I think it goes secure and insecure. And then under insecure, there's anxious and avoidant.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the tree works. And so it's crazy because like, oh, and the validation part was also this idea that connection is a normal human behavior. And in fact, it's like in our DNA that we need connection.
Miles, you better stop messing with these wires, girl. She said, ooh, shit, I got some stuff to play with.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, new toys. But yeah, the idea that connection is part of who we are and needs are not a bad thing. I feel like we've also been trained recently in America over the past like decade or whatever, this generation, to believe that any kind of dependency on another human being is unhealthy.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly like word for word, but it's the first book that or thing I've come across where I saw the term codependent and it didn't necessarily mean a negative thing. I've heard interdependent.
Yeah.
But I'm like, interdependent kind of still seems like codependent.
Yeah. I was like, wait, is that a better version of codependency? Yeah, it's
like they just were like, well, we know we probably can't change the way people view this. But it was interesting because it does acknowledge that. It does acknowledge to me the just human experience and how we're biologically, physiologically made to where need is a need from some someone else
yes.
is vital to our existence.
Yes.
Like, it is a thing that directly impacts us. And on the drive here, I said it before we started recording, hearing Phil Stutz and say that he views need as the glue that, like, binds the universe together.
Whew.
And it's also from the book. And then hearing him say that, it's the second time I've ever heard anyone say having a need is fine. And, like, it's okay.
That part.
And that felt like this temporary, like, huge weight lifted off of me.
Yeah.
Because looking at, like, how I understand the attachment styles is this thing in which I know, like, it grew from, I can't remember the woman's name who started, and y'all can just get the book because we ain't out here, like,
right,
doing, like,
a whole
dissertation and report on it. But, like, they view children at young ages mm-hmm. and how, like, if the caretaker or the mom, the dad, the parent, like, left the child, yeah. some would kind of, like, be just completely uncontrollable, like,
yes.
I'm done. I can't move on.
Yes.
And then some would cry for a little bit, but then they would kind of be like, all right, let me go get a toy and do my thing.
We good.
And then some were in, like, a different state that I don't completely, like, remember, mm-hmm. but it was a thing in which they kind of, like, would teeter in between, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And in seeing that, it's fascinating because now when I see and know, like, certain people, I read something when I was just kind of going down, looking at all the attachment styles and things like that. It was when someone feels as if they need to, like, be by themselves to figure a thing out, it can really stem from, like, their childhood and not having parents that gave them or made them feel, like, emotionally safe and supported. So they just learned this behavior to just do it themselves.
Yeah.
And so they then see, like, being next to someone that's willing and going, like, yo, we can figure it out. It seems like they don't know how to process that.
Yes.
And, like, it's so foreign to them that it can be kind of, like, just perceived as a threat.
Yes.
And that was really mind-blowing to me.
Yes. And the fact that I like that they don't claim to say that it's as clean as this all comes from your childhood.
Yeah.
Like, it's like your past relationships, your personality yeah. type, your childhood experiences. So because I also don't necessarily think the spectrum is, like, a clear every time I'm anxious, mm-hmm. every time I'm avoidant, because the whole idea that, like, there is a connection
mm-hmm.
where two people impact each other, I like the idea that that also impacts the kind of attachment style that might show up for you in different relationships.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about today. So quickly, because we're not going to go through the whole book for everyone, I feel like we should just give a quick, like, what are the three headlines? I know how I would describe three.
How would you describe the three?
You're going to laugh. Okay. So anxious folks, which I would put myself in generally, I think for the most part, I'm probably anxiously attached. We're the ones who overthink. We're constantly worried about the state of the relationship.
Oh, shit.
I always like to say, like, the last interaction that you have with me is the one that makes me think about – it's the feeling that I put on the entire relationship. Mm, so if we mm-hmm. have a bad interaction, it's very hard for me to think that you might still care about me
yeah.
or you might still love me, because now I'm worried that, like, this whole thing is going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And the part that, like, I continue to dwell on is the scarcity mindset piece, which is the anxious attached folks tend to believe that, you know, any relationship they're in is – that's it. Like, it's going to be impossible for them to find someone else after that, which I've always felt like that too, where I'm like, I can't let go of this person because who am I going to find again to love me, which feeds into the idea that, you know, we then don't ask for our needs. We don't necessarily take up space with our emotions and our wants and our desires because we're afraid that by doing that, we will push people away
yeah.
and then we'll be alone forever and die alone. So
Look it.
I can explain the anxious one yeah. so well because I'm like, it's just me. That's me.
Fuck. Yeah.
And then avoidance are the ones who, because they're human, they still want connection, but they run from it.
Shit.
They, like, step in just enough to mm-hmm. get that hit or that high. And then when it starts to get too good or too close or too vulnerable, they run, or they at least step back. And so they play this like push and pull game until at some point, usually they just kind of walk away for good. And then the secure people, you know, they're the ones who are just chilling.
It's like, really funny, good. In the book, they kind of describe them as boring. Yeah. And I laugh really hard because it's the first time seeing like boring, but I'm like, give me that. Give me that fucking boring. Yo. And it's really interesting in that I do love that in the book about attachment theory, it's not rigid. It's like you were saying it earlier, like you can be anxious and you can meet someone where you're like, damn, I feel secure. Like, I'm good. Like, we out here. Yeah.
we out here.
I think, yeah, with that, a big thing that, one thing I feel like I gotta apologize to all avoidant people, because it made me think about my entire life. And I know my upbringing plays the biggest role in it, in that I always saw people who I believe to be avoidant as cowards.
Yeah, same.
And
same. Wow.
That is like so hard for me to come to terms to.
Yeah.
And it helped me gain a lot more empathy and understanding like this thing, to where I would say in the two most recent relationships I had, I never had a feeling of like, I'm not willing to come to the table and figure whatever it is out. And when I would see someone like not doing the same, it was just a thing to where I didn't understand like their barometer or gauge or cup.
Yeah.
It was just so much smaller than mine to do that because of their attachment style or just in like the things that they've experienced and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't the best at being able to, when it comes to like avoiding folks, being able to recognize that.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to know a goddamn thing about attachment styles, but then also just still just didn't know enough about myself.
Yes, which I also think, and also apologies to the avoidance, because they might get, you know, they might feel away after this conversation. But the other interesting thing in the book is avoidance don't necessarily self-reflect the way that anxious folks do.
Mm-hmm.
Anxious types tend to constantly replay scenes in their mind and figure out what they could have done differently.
That shit is annoying. Because we're worried.
Oh, yes.
I was doing it today and I was getting mad at myself.
There's going to be a soundtrack also accompanying this podcast. There will be features by V. It's interesting because avoidance, it's like they're wired not to look at themselves. And so coming to the table to have conversations like that, one, they're just not comfortable with it because it's just not how they're built. And two, they're not as trained. I don't know what the word is. They're not as used to the self-reflection process, because you have to self-reflect to come to the table and solve a problem with someone, right?
Yeah, I would think. Or if it's a thing to where they like, I'm having a moment because I'm thinking of like two specific people.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating as hell because I'm like, I feel like I could be potentially self-centering myself, because I'm like, damn, what if they heard this? One person in particular, and then I'm like, oh, how would that negatively affect our whatever?
Is it someone you're still in touch with? Is that the worry here?
Yeah, kind of. Like, kind of. But it's like, hey, it's not coming from a place of being like mean or anything, but it's still just like,
they won't be identified.
I have to be honest. I just have to be honest and be like, yeah, let me think this through. In my experience, in the times that things like that would happen, it would feel less like it was a conversation of like hearing each other and like, let's try and meet each other somewhere, and more of like, this is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, homie, like, you gonna make an adjustment?
Right.
And hear you say that kind of like sticks with me. It's like, yeah. That,
right. And I felt like if you didn't make that adjustment, then it was like, all right, peace.
Yeah. Just like, all right, there you go. And I don't know if that's like good, bad, or what, but I can understand that. Like,
yeah.
It helped. What is it like? I learned a lot from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I learned a lot in, I think the main thing was, or is, just being okay knowing that like it's all right for me to want things.
To have needs, to feel something and say, I feel this way. it might mean that you do have to adjust your behavior a little bit. And like, I'm willing to do that for you. Are you willing to do that for me?
Yeah. And, yeah. And it was a thing to where it helped me also. I've never thought any type of relationship is quote unquote easy. I've always thought like they're work.
Yeah. They're all work.
Like if it's messy or not, like that never was a thing, a concern to me mm-hmm. in a relationship that I like willingly like, oh, I'm engaging in. Because I also always thought like every day I wake up, if I'm with someone, I'm making a conscious decision to be with you.
Amen.
And so once I make that decision, I know the sense of loyalty that I carry in me is I'm going to ride it until the wheels fall off. Like yeah. I'm going to give it everything I can, yeah. but I can't do that unless like I know what's going on the other side.
Yeah.
And the thing that I learned a lot from it was understanding like communication for me.
Right.
And realize like love is definitely not enough. No. like it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Like there like communication now I'm like, oh my God, the it's amount everything. Of over communicating, I am willing to do to just be like, look, you could be like, you didn't have to tell me all that. I'd rather you say that than like, you didn't tell me enough.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was a big thing, the communication piece. And it helped me because right around then I was doing a lot of the like assessments or tests, well, I think they're called assessments for like figuring out if I was autistic or not. Mm. And the book also helped me understand that about like anxious attachment styles is that like trying to figure things out.
Mm,
so I was
yeah.
like, yo, I start looking at my journal and notes that I would write, going over like disagreements or just even like positive experience. I'm like, why did I not pick that up? Like, why is this shit not making sense?
Yeah.
And that made me go, because wow. I would always tell people like, hey, I'm not good at picking up social cues.
Yeah.
And there would be things that I would say to folks that I would then now knowing and understanding I'm autistic that like, oh, shit, that's what it was the whole fucking time. Like,
yeah.
oh, my brain just works in a non-typical way. So it led me down talking to the different, like, therapists or the folks I was going through the assessments with. It helped me better, like, articulate things to them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, this is a thing that happened before. Right. What do you think? They're like, oh, wait a minute. And right. it helped in that sense. So it helped me learn so much just about me and about the neurotypical world and how I'm just not someone that is set up to thrive in those environments.
Yeah.
So it's taught me a lot more about now from any interaction, I would say like newer interactions I've had, I'm far more like, yo, if you want me to know something or do something, you need to say it. You need to be literal. You need to say, I don't like it when you do this.
Yeah.
I like it when you do this. That doesn't mean every time, but this is what I like.
Yeah.
And shout out to the homie Cobain. He shared this like Twitter thread of this guy who's autistic. And he was explaining like communication for him as an autistic person. But he's like, I think this is like what applied to a lot of autistic folks. And it was really funny. I read the thread and I'm like, yo, this shit applies to everybody.
I was about to say half of what you just said, I feel like it's, yes, probably useful. Sounds like definitely useful for neurodivergent folks, but I think is just good communication skills.
Like it is.
I would hate to classify that as something that, yeah, everyone.
It's pretty good. Let me see. I'm reading. When talking to autistic people, especially in the workplace or at school, be absolutely clear and unambiguous about instructions. Mm-hmm. Especially don't leave anything unsaid or to be assumed.
Interesting.
If you do that, there's a good chance it won't be done because you didn't ask us to. Many autistic people do precisely what we're instructed to a fault. The fault being ours, apparently, when it turns out we didn't do the thing we were never actually asked to do. The injustice of this is enormous, but happens all the time.
Wow.
It may be a trauma response. I'll do exactly what I'm asked based on past misunderstanding, but it's also probably another manifestation of the different way autistic people tend to communicate, with clarity often precise in purpose. Think about a friend you might have that speaks very formal or is very particular with the words they hear or use. They can tend to correct you if you use a word incorrectly and let you know the definition of it. That should hit me in the chest. I was like, damn, I'll be doing other people. There isn't much assumption in the autistic world, or at least not naturally. We often end up overassuming. Learn from constantly failing to assume as a kind of overcorrection. I'm like this and it's awful. I've learned to reach it into everything anyone says. Yeah. That is the most annoying thing. Yeah, it's like this huge paradox to where I'm constantly like looking like, wait, did you have some shit under that? Yeah. So that was something that like came from the book that I feel like has helped me greatly.
Fascinating. That's really fascinating. But do you feel like, just going back to, I think, something you said at the top of that, do you feel like you used to ask for what you needed or wanted in relationships? Or was it kind of post understanding attachment styles, you realized that maybe you weren't asking as clearly for what you wanted either?
I don't think I did a good job at that.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily think it, I wasn't sure what I want. I didn't know what I wanted. I don't think I knew how to articulate it that well. I also think that most of the time I was just happy that someone cared for me.
Loving you.
Yeah, I was like, for the most part, it wasn't.
It's a little bit of that scarcity.
Yeah, thing. Just like I wasn't. And it's interesting because in my brain, the logic in it, it's like there's what, over 7 billion people on the planet? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know there's not just one person for me.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Like in my brain, it was never like, oh, you'll never meet anyone or anything like that. I was like, nah, like I'm not really concerned about that. Yeah. And that's not even to be like
cocky.
Yeah. Just like, no, just like the
probability. It's real. Yeah.
The probability is if I go outside and I just like ask to introduce myself enough times, like at some point, like some shit's going to work in my favor.
Absolutely.
But it was still just a thing to where I also am just very picky and intentional. Just intentional about whomever I would ask to have that type of dynamic with. Mm-hmm. That just like means a great deal to me because I always in my mind, like I'm with you. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Because you are so committed once you do stuff.
Yeah, it's like, there we go. Yeah. And I also felt that most of the people I have been in relationships with, they did a good job of, I don't know if it's good job, they did their part in like saying what they wanted or something at that point.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like, I'm just, for the most part, just like happy just being with you.
Aww.
Like I don't really, now when I think about it a lot more now, I know that just spending time with the person is like the main thing for me.
Interesting. I think that the idea of asking for needs for me, and this kind of ties back to our first episode, I didn't even know that that was like a thing.
Wow.
That, and when I say needs, it's like emotional needs, right? So like what I learned through not only the book, but also just deeper kind of looking into my anxiousness and where it stems from, which is a lot of my like childhood stuff. And I realized that I need to feel prepared for any situation. So one of my needs that I think in the past I didn't even realize was a need because I hadn't done the work on myself. Mm-hmm. Just let me know what to expect. Like if you're an artist and your weekends are your art time, and that means that you wake up on Saturday and you put your phone away and you just listen to music and you write or you paint or you do whatever, or you have a shoot because you're making a film or whatever. As long as I know that you're unavailable because that's what you're doing, I'm good. I don't need to hear from you. But if I don't know that and I don't hear from you, the anxiousness goes crazy.
I can understand that.
Like that goes off the freaking rails.
Like, yo, this is my heart's out there.
My heart's out there. And like, why aren't you responding? And like, I know there's this new, you know, culture of like, you deserve to set boundaries. You don't have to respond to texts immediately, et cetera. But I'm also someone who's like, if you've shown me that you have the capacity to respond to texts immediately, and then all of a sudden you stop because you're busy or you're whatever, it's less so like during the work week, right? We all have like different work schedules. It's just like, if you've shown me your capacity for doing something and then all of a sudden it changes without you telling me why it's going to change or that it's about to change, then that's when I become an anxiously attached person.
Because it's not communication.
It's not communication. And one of the things the book said that I actually will quote is that attachment principles teach us that most people are only as needy as their unmet needs. When their emotional needs are met, and the earlier the better, they usually turn their attention outward. This is sometimes referred to in attachment literature as, quote, the dependency paradox. The more effectively dependent people are on one another, the more independent and daring they become. And so my goal is to be effectively dependent mm-hmm. and to find a partner who is effectively dependent, because it all does, I think, boil down to knowing yourself mm-hmm. and communicating that to your partner, and your partner being able to engage in similarly healthy communication.
Yeah.
Right? And open communication. So my big takeaway was like, oh, I think the first time someone asked me what I needed from an emotional perspective was at the job I worked at a couple years ago. And it was this older woman. There was like a challenging thing came up within the workplace, and she came in to help mediate. And she's like, Seema, I think you should start with like taking some time and listing out what you need. And I had no idea what to write down. Mm-hmm. And I went back to her and I was like, I don't know what to write down. And she's like, well, why don't we do it together? Like, I'll go off for a couple of days, you go off, and then we'll come back together. And when we came back together, she's like, oh shit, I've never done this before either. She's like, this was really hard. And she's like a 60-something-year-old woman.
Patriarchy fucking it up. Fucking it up.
And so it's like a really new thing. And the last guy that I dated, he would always ask me like, what do you need? You know, what are your boundaries? And I was like, yo, I'm still trying to learn how to even understand what those are so that I can then develop my list of those things, if that makes sense. Like, I'm still trying mm-hmm. to understand conceptually.
Yeah.
What is a need? What is a boundary? So that I can then communicate that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I think that was an interesting thing for me, because I did, and probably to some extent still do worry that like, oh my God, I'm never going to meet someone.
Girl, I got random people. Hey man, Seema cool. Like, yeah, she cool. So thanks.
You're like, listen to every episode, study it, and then talk to her.
Get shit right.
Get your shit right.
Look here. Did you not hear what I said? It's weird for me to be around dudes.
I've definitely had some new IG followers, and I'm like, B, are these your people?
It's like, random ass. Like, y'all better get fucked up.
No, it's sweet. It's sweet. It's sweet. Anyway, so that's the idea of needs. And I guess we should also mention that, like, the book says it's not a hard gender line, but it does tend to skew that women are more anxious and men are more avoidant. And I think it's because of the patriarchy.
Look at, like, everything about this, like, yeah, influenced by this shit.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. So I think what I can wrap up in the like, oh, right. So I would actually, we're going to cut out all that stuttering there.
No, you got to leave that in there. That's a mind thinking.
Literally, that's a mind racing.
Like, oh shit, yeah.
Yeah, I would be afraid that I could never find someone again, because I also liked just the feeling of being cared for and loved. And so I wouldn't ask for my needs, but then it would pile up. I remember I used to explain it to people as, it feels like I would reach these moments in relationships, and this is the language I would use back then because I didn't understand all of this. Mm-hmm. I didn't have these words. I would reach moments in relationships where it felt like the volcano would erupt, and I would lose my shit. To go back to our last conversation around anger and feelings and not having the language around them, I didn't have any of this language. And so mm-hmm. I would wait, and I would be with someone for a year, 2 years, whatever, and then I would blow up at them. And that was shitty in and of itself, that I would blow up at them. And then they were also like, wait, you now need stuff from me? You've been out here just chilling for a year or two, and now you need something from me? So it was a double-edged sword of like,
mm-hmm.
I was finally trying, and I didn't articulate any of it well. Like, that's, you know.
Hey.
But in my attempts to, it would come out really shitty. And so it just, the whole thing would, the milk would spoil.
The volcano would erupt. I don't know what
metaphors we're using now, but yeah, that's my experience of all of this.
I will say, it was what, how do we hope to do it better next time? I kept looking at that question and I was like, fuck. I know me well enough to know that when I lock onto something,
so good,
it's like, get out the way.
Yeah.
Like, if you...
You've taken no prisoners the last few months. I'm watching you, and I'm like, damn.
If you're in the way, like, I don't know what to tell you right now, but I think my sister said it to me once. She's listened.
Ari,
if you hear, that young woman always gets to my spirit. She said this thing. I was just like at the house, and she was just like, "You're like a shark. Like you see something, you just go. Like, and there's just no stopping." But it's a thing that I'm really concerned about with myself.
You're concerned?
Yeah, because it's hard for me to. When I get focused and locked in on something, it is so damn hard to pull back from it.
Yeah.
And so what I've noticed in my life is that whenever I feel like I've gone through anything tough, whatever it might be, I will over-index or overcorrect so hard on never doing that thing again that the new thing I do could potentially be dangerous.
In a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just becomes like, oh, you are so on that now, that like rigidness.
Because you're seeking perfection. Do you think that's it?
I've never believed in perfection. I've used the word, but I've never believed in it.
Okay.
I'm not wanting any more pain.
Damn.
I think that's the better way to put it.
Yes, that resonates. And Buddhism, and I think Buddhism, one of the like foundational beliefs of both of those religions is life is pain.
Yeah.
Life is suffering. And I think one of the hardest things for me the last few months has been finally understanding that.
Mm-hmm.
Because those religions say that life is pain, and the goal then of life is to learn how to still find joy.
Yeah.
In spite of or amidst that pain. And I've known that conceptually, but I think the last few months is the first time I've let myself feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the hardest thing, I think, is just to like.
Little mouth.
The little meows get me every time. Is just to sit with that, because there's nothing to do, right?
Yep.
It's like you just have to let yourself feel pain and not get too close to the edge where you and I have both been before.
Yes, that's where it concerns me the most, because I'm too good at pain.
Yeah, because we're comfortable there.
I'm like, some shit hurt.
We're hella comfortable there.
Bet.
Like, yeah.
And I think because I've done the most growing when I've been in pain or uncomfortable positions and environments.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it addiction, because I don't want to be reckless with that word.
Yeah.
But there's something there to where I then go like, all right, well, shit, let me just stay in it.
Yeah.
But then it goes to that extreme to where you're like, oh, whoa.
A really dark place.
Yeah. And then that's the thing that always gets me. And I think the thing that I keep wanting to make sure I do whenever like I am in another dynamic like that with someone is to just, I feel exponentially better prepared to like communicate immediately to them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, yo, beef game.
Yeah.
And to not feel afraid and let like that fucking limbic fear response take over and drive decisions.
Yeah.
But to just be okay knowing that, like, you know what? I understand how my brain works better, not completely, but much better. I have a better idea of what I want.
Yeah.
And to be okay with it sounding formal and robotic.
Yeah. Or what we used to, what did you and I used to call it? Contractual.
Yes.
I mean, we talked about this a little last time, just the idea that like understanding these concepts and getting the language is useful, because so there was something that I learned a year or so ago when I went through something pretty challenging and lost a lot of people in my life, and they never said anything to me. They never had communication with me about it. They just kind of fell off. And I learned that feelings of abandonment activate the same part of your brain that get activated when you experience physical pain.
Shit.
So abandonment essentially ends up feeling like abuse.
God damn.
And just there's something about knowing that. Just like there's something about knowing that when I'm in that anxious place, talking myself down. Yeah. Like, what am I so anxious about? Am I anxious because I don't think I'm ever going to find someone else? Mm-hmm. Am I anxious because I think that I've fucked up and I'm not recognizing that that person played a part too? But like, there's something really powerful about having all of this understanding. And so I think that you diving in the way that you've dove in to try and understand all this stuff will make you better prepared for the next time.
That's what a wizard is hoping for.
You and me both, actually.
Like, look at it.
Just like, look at it. We got to be able to do this better next time.
But there's even also that. In that sense, it makes me think of what my therapist said it to me. Mm. One of my homies said it to me. I've heard it a little bit more frequently lately. And they said it's been a consistent thing of like, you taking too much of this on.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Amen. They're like, yo, you keep saying, I did this thing. I did this thing. They're like, yo, it's more than one person involved in this.
Back to what so we opened
like,
with.
Like, no one could ever be like, it was 38% your fault. Right. And then like 70s, like
right.
62, like what the fuck? Like, it doesn't work that way. But that's been a good reminder in the sense of, and it's something my therapist and I actually had like a fun disagreement on, and that I deeply believe, and it pisses me off how I've heard someone say recently, like, I'm not responsible for your feelings.
Yeah.
And it was one of the few times I've been outside, and it was a group of us together, and I like had to just tap them, like, yo, can we come to, let me pull you to the side real quick. Like, let's
break this down.
You know, I gotta talk to you real quick. And they're just like, yo, I'm like, you came into the space very aggressively. Mm-hmm. This person said, like, wow, like, can you change the way you're coming at me? Like, the tone is a bit aggressive. Mm-hmm. And you were like, well, that's how you feel. And I remember just, like, replaying it to them. They're like, yeah, that's how they feel. Like, they wouldn't feel that way if you didn't come in that way.
/ do you care about them?
And that was the thing that also was, like, I can understand how the like immediate reaction that, again, that fucking primal mind is to get defensive.
Yeah.
Like, but look, they didn't come at you with aggression, though.
Right.
They let you know, like, this thing is doing this to me.
Yes.
Making me feel this way.
Yes.
Like, adjust, please.
Yeah.
And you chose not to adjust. Like, so from my understanding now is exactly that. Like, do you care enough to then realize that, no, we're not completely responsible for anyone's feelings.
No.
But I think for me, it's always attempting to be aware of the impact that my energy and things will have on someone else.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I definitely work to do, will continue to work to do better.
Yes.
And understanding that, like, those are things that we don't have control over a lot of times.
No.
Just like energetically, like you can be quiet and still affect someone.
And you've said, this impact over intention.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we can have the best intentions in the world, but we can't always control the impact. Like, and so if we care about these relationships, if we care about these connections, you have to take someone's feelings seriously to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, how do we find each other in the middle? Where is my ego getting into play? Where is your ego getting into play? What am I projecting? What are you projecting? And you find a way through it, but you can only do that with communication.
Yeah.
And but people have to be hella vulnerable and like self-reflective to have communication like that.
I always think even in the sense of your self-reflection level or your level of understanding, you can just be merely, I don't know.
Exactly.
And I'm cool.
And that's okay.
And then let's be like, yo, can we work together to figure it out?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know is a much better answer than that's you do you with your feelings. Like, you figure it out. Like,
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, do what? I don't even know what you can't do anymore, though. Like, what? Hold on. Like, and so those things.
I don't know is such a great answer. I love I don't know as an answer. I'm still learning how to use it, but it's a really it lets that other person know that you're acknowledging that you don't have all the answers, but you are willing to try.
Yeah, I'm always, or I do my best to, it's an old Apple thing I learned. I don't know, but let's find out.
I love that. God, I love that so much.
Like, that shit work. Like, yeah.
I don't know, but let's find out.
Like, let me figure this out. It might take a day, it might take an hour, it might take a year, but I'm letting you know exactly what you're saying. Like, I'm willing to do that.
That's dope.
Okay, so then what conditions do you feel are needed to support you in like doing this, doing that in?
And being effectively dependent.
Yeah.
As like, effectively dependent is my goal. What conditions are needed? See, you asked me what I need. And I'm like,
cricket.
We gonna need to pause for 30 minutes while seeing what they know. I should have thought about this more deeply before this. But I think it's in the phrase effectively dependent. Mm-hmm. I need a partner who can step into also being effectively dependent. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's two parts. It's like, what are the conditions with someone else? And then what are the conditions within me? And mm-hmm. I think I need to give myself a moment to pause before I react or respond to people, because I have two instinctive response buttons.
Mm-hmm.
One is, yes, sure, people please, let me just do whatever to make you happy. Mm-hmm. And the other is, nah, fuck that, defense mode. And neither of those are appropriate, I think. I don't think either of those are appropriate. So I've learned that taking a beat is really, really helpful for me.
Yo.
And I don't like it when I feel pressured to make a decision yeah. about something that involves a partnership or yeah. a relationship quickly. And, you know, ideally then I have a partner who understands that, and I think that we heal in relationship. I think that's the only way we actually heal our wounds from childhood.
Look.
Because you need someone to show you that the world is safer than what you were taught through the trauma that you experienced.
Oh my gosh, wow, you said that. I was talking to a friend like some months ago, and we essentially, I said like the same thing in the sense of like, I just want the opportunity to be with someone that we consciously say we want to be the evidence for each other that things could be different.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that like, yeah, so I need to be better about making sure I take that pause. And then I also just need to give myself grace and remind myself that it's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
It is not all my responsibility yeah. to make a relationship work.
Yeah.
I can show up in my best and I'm still going to hurt you at times. I can show up at my best and I'm still going to disappoint you at times. I can show up at my best and I'm still going to have to say I'm sorry afterwards at times. And that's okay, because hopefully I'm with someone who understands that like, I'm still going to fuck it up sometimes.
Like, yeah, like,
but I'm here for the conversation mm-hmm. about it afterwards.
Yep.
So I think those are probably the two big things, is give myself space and give myself grace.
I love it. I ain't doing shit. I'm going to a monastery.
And no! I like that you opened with the need as the glue that binds the universe. And then you're like, nah, I'm chill. I'm out. Take me to Budapest.
I am opting out of all this shit. As long as I get the, I don't know if Butter would like, yeah, he probably chill in the monastery with
but
me.
It would be chilling. Also, Budapest is not where the monasteries are. I don't know why I said that.
But hey.
It's Nepal. I think Butter would like Nepal.
He would be like,
Miles would love Nepal.
Let me do things. Oh gosh. What conditions? Someone that is willing to like learn how my mind works.
Hmm.
And like realize that it's not typical.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the main thing. No, that's like 1A. I think the next thing would be that like willingness and just commitment to just be like, okay, let's figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And articulate if you need space. Like, yes. Articulate if you need time to yourself.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, just like not take everything serious.
Yeah.
Like shit happens.
Shit happens.
Like it just should just be happening. Like,
yeah.
As calculated as I can be, I am also someone who very much, very deeply believes the majority of this stuff is random.
Like, yeah,
this
I think
shit,
so.
Like, it's just stuff's bouncing off the walls. Yeah. Like, people on their phone and they driving. Like this shit is random, y'all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think it really comes down to just understanding that, like, oh, his mind isn't doesn't move in a typical manner.
Yeah.
And just like a willingness to just go on the journey together.
Yeah.
And there's something else that came to mind for me that I'm like, damn it, it slipped. But those are really, really big. Like, just communicate where you're at. If you're like, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I'm feeling stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Like, cool. I'm here. I'm ready to talk about it when it comes up.
Bad. Like, if you just tell me, at least I can make adjustments on my end that I feel will be best for me.
Yeah.
And ideally, what is best for me will probably end up being best for you, especially if it's in that like relation to each other. Because I hate when, no, I don't hate, I loathe when people say shit like, oh, I did what I thought was best for everyone. Like, motherfucker, you didn't ask everyone.
You don't know.
Like, everyone's right here. Everyone didn't get a word in it.
Yeah. But
I think those things. I think just that, okay, he explained to me that, like, this is where he's at. And then to just say, like, hey, this is where I'm at. And even if it's like, look, I don't know if I want a quote-unquote serious relationship, but, like, we're doing a thing. There's some type of attraction there.
Yeah.
Let's check in once a week or something. Right. Yeah. Or, like, once a month to be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's not just, like, moving along and then you have what you think is an epiphany and you're like, ah!
Yeah. That's the part that's, like, shit's going to pop up because we don't know what we're becoming when we're becoming it. But that's actually why communication is so critical, because we're changing every day.
Yes.
And we're growing into things, and what I liked or didn't like yesterday might be different than it was a week ago. So it's actually the more we can be in touch with ourselves and in tune with ourselves, but also having reflections. Someone told me one time, or I read it somewhere, they're like, back to the idea of like, you need people. Our eyes are literally facing outwards.
Go.
So we can't see ourselves fully. We need other people to help us see ourselves. If I'm changing, if like, I don't know, you like churros and next week you're like, I don't really want churros, I'm going to notice that and be like, what's up? Yeah. What happened?
So that would be like a very big thing for me too. That would be like, I've literally gone to other countries because of churros, like literally specifically going to a place because of churro.
He likes traditional churros, friends.
Yeah.
Don't offer him red velvet churros because like, he will brush like, those off like they are poison. Like, anyway.
Churros are heaven.
Yes.
They're benevolent.
So it's like, to have a reflection, like you might not notice that all of a sudden you don't like churros anymore. And all of a sudden, if someone, you know, who's been on the journey with you is like, wait, what happened? We need people to actually call these things out for us and help us
crucial.
See ourselves.
I mean, like, I feel the last few months, though, they've been really, really fascinating to me with that in the sense of, I would say, like, at work. There are people who have, like, I've gone to the office maybe like 2 times, but they've seen me and
don't call yourself out like that.
like they've seen me physically and I can see them doing a thing like, oh, something's different. Like I can see it. And someone like they just sent me a message. Actually today was like the really, really random. And they were just like, yo, I know it's Friday. Like, can we just like hop on a call? I just want to, and I'm like, yeah, it's Friday, motherfucker. Why we got to do this call? Like, come on, leave me alone. Yeah. And I did it. And I'm glad because they just asked. They were just like, hey, you do, like, you always check in on people. Like, you checked on me. Like, I just wanted to see, like, how are you?
Aww.
And I was just like, damn, man.
Good people.
Like, I appreciate you, but, like, fuck, I don't want to have to be, like, I'm going to be honest. And
you're like, I can't lie.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, like, I don't want to hit you with the generic. I'm like, oh, I'm cool. Because, like, clearly you noticed.
Yeah.
You noticed that, oh, the way you've consistently shown up in my time working with you or anything like that, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And it was a thing that's that, like, and it made me think, like, oh, shit, who else? And I've had people in their own ways kind of, like, ask. Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, you know, just got some shit going on. But it's a thing like that. They're like,
it's nice.
We need that.
We need it.
To have that.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, you just walk around being Trump.
Yeah. Ooh, like, ooh, we land in there. Okay.
Or like some other, I just think of like
some
that.
Other incredibly, yeah, either incredibly avoidant and or incredibly narcissistic person.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time are we at? I feel like
I feel like it's decent enough time. We did what we were supposed to do.
I like it. I also feel like we sufficiently moved beyond the book because I think attached boils down to connections and relationships. And so that was good. We made a good little circle there.
It just reinforced you got to fucking communicate.
Amen.
At whatever level of communication you have, and just know that you can also improve it.
Yes. And you got to make safe space for people to communicate. You have to communicate, and you have to be a safe place for others to communicate.
Yeah, just like, look, yo.
Yeah. Get your egos out the door. Like, if people come at you with their feelings, it's not always about you. It's about them.
That's the other condition.
Yeah.
You said it for me. Projection.
Projection.
I need the least amount of assuming and the least amount of projecting.
Yeah. There you go.
Even if you just say it, like, I could be projecting this. Yes. I'd be like, okay, cool. Right.
Like, just caveat it a little.
Yeah, like, we'll be all right. We'll
hilarious. All right. Amazing. This is a good, I like this episode as episode two.
Yeah.
You feel good? I feel like you have something on your mind.
I always got some shit on my mind. I'm just like replaying so many things. And then what are we talking about next? Oh, we're going to do more patriarchy stuff.
Or we could do Trauma is the New Black. I don't know. We'll surprise
that's
everyone.
Yeah, we're going to do that.
It's a good one.
Trauma's the New Black.
Yeah. It was a good one.
Shout out to all the black people that somehow will be offended by that statement because y'all just got to have a monopoly on black. Okay. Nah, I love y'all.
I love y'all. Till next time.